Hi, this is Pastor Bill Woods, and today I want to look a little bit about what does the future hold, and the future can be quite different for people. Depending on if you know Christ as your personal Savior, your future is going to be very bright and wonderful. If you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, and you go out into eternity, your future is not going to be good. It's going to be a horrible time. I heard a story about a man that was very miserly, and all he thought about was himself. He kind of was cruel to his poor wife and everything, but he had gathered all the treasure he could. He had gold, and he had coins, and all the different things that he wanted to hoard, and he had put them in a big coffee can. And one day he got sick, and he told his wife, he said, "Now, I don't know if I'm going to pull through this or not. If it looks like I'm going to die, take this coffee can up and put it in the attic, and then when I die and my soul goes past through the attic, I can grab the coffee can and take my treasures with me out into eternity." Well, she remembered that. One day he got very, very sick. The doctor said he wasn't going to pull through. And so she moved that coffee can up to the attic. After he died, after the funeral, she went up into the attic to see about that can. And sure enough, it was still there. And she said, "I knew I should have put it in the basement." You know, current events indicate that we're apparently the generation Jesus pointed to when he said in Matthew 24:34-35, I'm reading from New King James Version, said, "Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Jesus was referring to his return and to the end of the world. I know most of you know the order of things to come, but if you're not aware, let me lay it out for you. The first event will be what we term as the rapture. It's described in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18 and 1 Corinthians 15:51-56. This is when Jesus is going to come. The trump of the Lord will sound. The graves will open for the Christians in the cemeteries. They will be caught up first. Then we who love Jesus will go shortly or immediately after them. And we will go to be with our Lord at the marriage feast of the Lamb. And you know, that he's going to have a great time for 7 years with us at this wonderful event. During that time, there'll be 7 years of tribulation here on earth, which are going to be horrible. It's going to be the time that the Antichrist and the false prophet, actually Satan, has his way in order to persecute people. And at that point, half of the world will die at that point. And this will be the time where there'll be plagues and judgments from God and God's wrath poured out, and there'll be the mark of the beast and all these horrible things that are going to happen. And I just don't want to be here during that time, and I don't want you to be here during that time. At the end of the 7-year tribulation, Christ is going to come back and physically come to earth. The Bible says that he will, I guess the word is, touch down on the Mount of Olives. And there's going to be some wonderful things happen at that time. That will be the second coming. Well, when Satan knows that Jesus is coming again, he's going to gather all the armies of the world. And he's going to have the Antichrist and all the armies resist, and hopefully that they can battle against Christ and win. This is called the Battle of Armageddon. This is the time in the battle where there'll be 6 million soldiers on the plain of Megiddo. And at that time also, the bloodshed will be so badly done that says there'll be a river of blood deep that'll flood in and even put the fires out in the fireplace. It's terrible. Read Revelation and see what's going on. After this, Christ is just going to say the word, and everything, the devil and all the armies and everything, will be defeated. And again, that's when Christ is coming during the Battle of Armageddon and then the millennium where Christ will set up his kingdom and rule 1,000 years here on earth, just like he wanted the earth to be in the first place. And Satan will be bound, and he will be for 1,000 years not able to tempt or cause anybody to stumble. Then after the 1,000 years, the second resurrection, those who never accepted Jesus in their lifetime will be resurrected and judged. It's going to be what we call the white throne judgment, where Jesus will separate the wheat from the chaff, or separate those who served him from those who didn't. Also, another illustration, he talked about separating the sheep from the goats. Then it says that those who did not know Christ will be turned into hell, the lake of fire, for all eternity. And we who are with Jesus will go to the new heavens and be with him for all eternity. And it says at that point, he'll wipe our tears away. We'll not suffer anymore. We'll have eternal joy. And I'm looking forward to that. Now, a key sign of the end times is, he said, this generation not pass away. Well, one of the keys is Israel will become a nation again. And that happened May 14th, 1948. That's 77 years ago now. That generation's getting old, so the time that he was referring to for his coming must be close. Again, Matthew 24, 34 through 35, this generation will not pass away. I interpret that as saying that the people that were alive or born in 1948, there'll still be some of them living on earth before, you know, when Jesus comes. And I want to warn you, they're getting pretty old. I've been asked when I thought Jesus would come. Well, there's no way we can know the date that Jesus will return, but we can know the seasons. It's like a woman expecting a baby. She doesn't know the exact date that the baby will be born, but she can know that it's close because of the birth pangs and the strain on her body that she is experiencing. We can sense the birth pangs of the second coming and see the strain our world is experiencing today and know it's not too far off. People ask, well, do you think we are in the tribulation now? I imagine the people living in countries like, you know, Egypt and Iraq, Iran, Russia, China, the people, the Christians that are being persecuted, they might think we are in the tribulation now. But I don't believe we are, not because there are certain prophecies specific to the tribulation that have to happen. And I will say that I think we're getting ready, that we're in a practice mode waiting for the real thing. Jesus said, Matthew 24, 5 through 8, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, there have been many false claims by people saying they are Messiah. We know that they aren't, and Jesus is still coming. We certainly hear about wars and rumors of wars. All you have to do is watch the news, and you know that this world is not at peace right now. There are famines. We're told there are people in the United States even who go to bed hungry. Some even die of starvation. And from what I understand, there's going to be some shortages. It'll probably get worse before it gets better. Jesus said there'd be pestilences. That's a contagious epidemic. Check out the COVID virus and see what it did. And it's inconceivable how COVID spread so quickly and brought our nation to its knees. It altered our economy, our social lives, our travel, our educational institutions, our worship, our workforce, our political world, and filled our hospitals and our mortuaries with sick and dying people. When they tell us that another pandemic is predicted this winter, respiratory sensation, I don't know for sure how to say that, sensational virus, or they call it RSV. I guess they can't pronounce it either. Anyhow, it's already here and said to be especially hard on seniors. Also, the CDC is predicting a pandemic of bird flu. In fact, animals already have it. It's wiped out so many chickens and cows, and it's causing all kinds of problems. Why poultry is more expensive, eggs are more expensive. And then crime is on the increase. There are violent demonstrations of riots and looting and murders, mass destruction of buildings, statues, and monuments. President Trump is trying to bring peace to the big cities like Portland, Chicago, New York, Memphis, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., and a host of other cities being torn apart by violence. Look at the violent crime rate with rape, murder, massive shootings, and all kinds of horrible things people do to one another. Think about the man that a couple weeks ago slit the throat of a beautiful 23-year-old girl on a train in Charlotte, North Carolina. Violent crimes and murders are on the increase. It's almost like people have no conscience. Several state governors are fighting Trump and resisting any kind of help. And I have a hard time trying to figure out why the governors aren't wanting to protect their people. Antifa is trying to bring Marxism to destroy our freedoms. You know, Marxism never works. Communism never works. There's talk about civil war if things don't straighten out soon. Who would have thought the United States of America could be segmented so quickly? Jesus said there would be earthquakes in populated places. When Jesus mentioned earthquakes, there was only about one per century. Now it's common to hear about several every minute on the seismographs. There are tsunamis, tornadoes, hurricanes, fires, floods, pestilence, again, that's disease, and all kinds of natural phenomena happening at a rate like we've never seen before. Paul told Timothy that in the last days, people would not endure sound doctrine, but just want their ears tickled. Pastors and churches have compromised and no longer preach God's word, no longer tell people about hell and repentance and about heaven. God is warning that we'd better wake up while there's time to repent. The world is as bad or worse than the world that Noah lived in when God had to destroy everything with a flood. We abort babies for convenience. Over 250 million babies so far, according to the Pharmacists for Life organization. Today we celebrate gay marriage, cohabitation, pornography, transsexual procedures, and flaunt every indecency we can, and then wonder why God is going to rain judgment upon our land. He won't put up with this kind of behavior forever. Now, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to put you in a great fit of depression. I want you to know there are answers, and you don't have to worry about these things if you're living for Jesus Christ. I want to recognize where we are in a nation and remind you that Christ is the answer for everything that is going on. You know, if I went to my doctor and my doctor said, oh, you look like the picture of health, you just look so well and your flesh looks good and everything, and then I find out later that my doctor knew that I had a tumor that was growing and spreading cancer through my body, I would not be very happy about it. I feel as a pastor that I need to let people know that, you know, everything's not hunky-dory, and if you're not living for Jesus Christ, you better find him as your personal Savior while you still have time. God is not surprised at anything happening today because God told us it was going to happen, and he's still in charge and still walks and protects his people. Christians need to pray and become aggressive in sharing the message of salvation while we have time. Praise God, there are signs of revival among our college-age people. And you know that we're hearing about many victories through the wonderful ministry of that Charlie Kirk started there at Turning Point USA. And by the way, I'm praying for them. I'm praying for Eric, his wife, and I'm praying that many, many people find Jesus Christ. Pray that this revival spreads. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." God will soon pour his wrath out on a sinful world that's rejected him, but we still haven't experienced what is prophesied to usher in the great tribulation. Christians haven't been raptured yet. Transitions between Revelation 3 and 4 kind of indicate that, you know, there's going to come a time when all of a sudden everything's going to change. And John addresses the letters in the first three chapters of Revelation to the seven churches in Asia Minor. And many Bible scholars believe that the order of these churches correspond to the periods of church history. And if so, we are in the period of Laodicea, the last period before the rapture. Notice how the terminology changes from Revelation 3 to Revelation 4. It goes from church terminology to Jewish terminology, giving us the impression that the church is gone, that Christ has taken them with him in the rapture. In fact, John represents Christians at this time, and he is invited to come up to heaven and going through a door that's open into heaven. Revelation 4:1, "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this." I'll tell you what, guillotines haven't been put to use yet. Revelation 20:4 says, "And I saw thrones, and they had sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So it just tells me that during the tribulation, people that are going to be persecuted, many of them, it says, will be decapitated. And I assume that probably guillotines will be brought into use. The two witnesses haven't appeared. Revelation 11:3-12 says, "And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. If anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy, and they have power over waters to turn them to blood, to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt." We know it, Jerusalem. "Where also our Lord was crucified. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and not allow their dead bodies to be put into the graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, making merry and sending gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth." Now, after the 3.5 days, the breath of those of life from God entering them, and they should stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them, and they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. The two witnesses will come for the first 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation. One is probably Elijah, the other could be Moses, judging from the style of miracles they will perform. they'll be an irritant to the Antichrist. You know, just he can't stand them. And to the rebellious world, they haven't arrived yet, giving further proof that we're not in the tribulation yet. Things will get worse. Satan knows his time is short. He's doing everything he can to frustrate God's plan for mankind and to damn souls to hell. But right now, he is restrained by the Holy Spirit. Satan can only do today what God will allow him to do. We read in 2 Thessalonians 2, 6 through 11, "And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of the lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming." The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Again, the invitation is there. You want to avoid these things, repent. Ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. During the tribulation, Satan's restraints will be lifted. He will have free reign. There's not going to be anything to restrain him. Right now, the Holy Spirit and the presence of true Christians, the true church, are keeping things from getting as bad as Satan wants them to be. He's being restrained. We are, though, experiencing dress rehearsal for the coming tribulation. Satan is testing ways to see how he can gain control of the world. I told you last week about the UK saying that they're going to use digital IDs and that people not be able to work or be able to buy things unless they have a digital ID. And I said, this sounds pretty much like the beginnings of the mark of the beast. Satan is learning how to manage the world for those 7 years when he and his minions will control humanity. The COVID-19 pandemic revealed many things Satan needed to know to take total control. First, he must create irrational panic. That way, people will blindly follow him. Panic motivates people to sacrifice their rights and freedoms so they can gain a false sense of safety and security. If I think, you know, if I was not a Christian and I thought I wasn't going to have enough food to keep alive, I might be willing to compromise on many things. Because of the epidemic, panic, churches and businesses and restaurants, practically everything closed down. Imagine Satan's glee at seeing the churches and group worship of God shut down. Isolation caused people to fear contacting each other, which led to depression and loneliness. For many people, that was overwhelming. Demons filled their minds with depraved thoughts during the isolations. Remember what it says, an idle mind is the devil's playground. The COVID-19 practically ruined our economy. Satan found when people lose their financial support system, they're vulnerable to demonic control. It will be easier to usher in the mark of the beast and demand that people take it if they want to go ahead and buy and sell and work and eat. People ask, well, how is the mark of the beast? How will it be implemented and enforced on the whole world? Well, Revelation 13, 14 through 18 says that, people will take it in order to be able to live. There's already a shortage of coins, and many businesses no longer use coins to give change. The price of an item is rounded to the nearest whole number. It's already happening in Flagstaff Fry's store I found here a while back. I tried to give them money and they didn't want to take money. They said they no longer do that and they no longer had change. You know, at Burger King, I paid $4, what usually cost me $4.26. If the price is $4.59, it'll go up to $5. Plans are being made to do away with $1 bills and $5 bills and eventually all currency. This is so that people will be able to go on the ID thing and people will be controlled by what they can buy, what they can sell, what they can do with their money if they have any. People are encouraged to use debit or credit cards, making it easier for the government to trace your spending. The next step is a chip, which is already in most bank cards and credit cards. Then putting a chip or a mark in your skin, making it harder to misplace or lose. You know, if you have it on your debit card and you lose your debit card, anybody can pick it up and use that chip, but they're not going to be able to use that identification, whether it's a chip or whatever it is, not be able to use it if it's attached to your arm or if it's attached to your forehead. Eventually, nothing will be bought or sold without permission from the government, who will run the economy. I've told you that the UK is setting that up. Switzerland, Australia are already using the digital ID, and it probably will spread very quickly to the rest of the world. This is not the mark, not yet, but we're being conditioned to accept the convenience of the mark. Currently, the World Health Organization and their associates have recommended everybody in the entire world be vaccinated for COVID-19 and then be given some kind of a pin to put on their lapel or a mark or a certificate showing they complied with the law. Without proof, they will not be allowed to leave home or buy or sell. Wow, does that sound familiar? This is the first generation to understand how these kinds of controls be enforced worldwide because of today's scientific advancements. The pandemic dress rehearsal warns me that I don't want to miss the rapture when Jesus Christ comes for his saints. I don't want to miss God's plan should I die before he comes. Hell will be worse than the tribulation, and it's forever. Are you wise enough to get ready to meet Jesus Christ? To those left behind to face the tribulation, the little coronavirus episode is nothing. The real tribulation will be more terrifying for those who refuse to accept the mark. They won't have the privilege we have today of openly calling out to God, asking for forgiveness of their sins and to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. You know, there still will be a way that you can get saved. I heard people say, well, I'll just reject Satan and I'll live for Jesus then. Really? If you can't commit to him now, how will you have the courage to serve Jesus when persecution will be so much more drastic? You know what to do for your own good, do it. The only way to gain heaven during the tribulation will be to resist the Antichrist, refuse his mark, and face starvation or decapitation. God's grace extended to us today will have run out. We won't have the same relationship with through the Holy Spirit during that time of tribulation as we have today. It will take sheer grit with no assurance that the Holy Spirit is giving you to know that you're right with God. Listen to Christ's warning in Matthew 24:9. Then you'll be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You'll be hated all over the world because you're my followers, and many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear, will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. You know, Christ's advice in 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Meanwhile, remember 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. While Satan and the world gear up for the tribulation, why don't you join me in gearing up to go home and be with Jesus for all eternity? Shall we pray? Dear God, what I've shared today is not pleasant. It's not fun to preach this kind of thing, but we need to know the truth. And I'd pray, Lord, that you help each one that's listened today, that they would realize they can rely upon Jesus Christ to help them through these terrible times that we know are coming. If they don't know you, help them to confess their sins to you today and accept you as their Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like to call on me for prayer or counseling or anything, you can use my phone number, 623-845-2741. You can text me that way. You can call me and talk direct. I'd be happy to do whatever I can. Also, you know, you can use my email address. It's lowercase revwmwoods@gmail.com. God bless you. I hope you know him as your Savior. We'll talk to you later. God bless. Just an add a note that the River of Blood will be 4 feet deep. I messed up and didn't know how to edit that out. So there's the information. Thank you.